Well, hey, everyone. Here we are for another episode of The Boundless Show. I'm your host, Lisa Anderson. On today's show, let me first tell you what you're going to hear at the end of the show. It's going to be one of our Q&A questions with Cynthia Dervais, one of our counselors here at Focus on the Family, addressing a woman who wants to go into missions, but she is single and basically feels like she could be just throwing away every opportunity for marriage by choosing to go on the mission field. Sad. Wah, wah, wah. So anyway, we're going to give her some helps, and Cynthia is going to give her some encouragement for how to reframe and think about this. Then for our culture segment, Scott Todd, he works at Compassion International, and he is the author of Fast Living. He is an expert for compassion on the subject of extreme global poverty. And I'm going to tell you right now, he thinks that the church can end extreme poverty really within our generation, I think. So those are big words. So we'll see what he has to say about that. But right now, I have three fabulous guys here at the table with me. They are all wearing blue shirts, so they coordinated today. That's very exciting. Yeah. Let me go ahead and introduce them very quickly. Down at the end of the table, we have Andres. Hey.
How you doing?
I'm doing well.
It's good to be here.
Very good to have you. He is originally from Ecuador.
That's correct.
So, but we've now nabbed him here into the States, lured him in, and are keeping him, I guess, for a while. So he is he's here. Michael is at the table. Hey, Michael.
How you doing?
Not originally from Ecuador.
No.
But went over to Taiwan.
Yes.
And lived there for, what was it you said?
How
many
years? About 8 years.
About 8 years. Yeah. Okay. And now back here. And then Gabriel is with us. Hey, Gabe.
Hi, Lisa.
From Venezuela.
Venezuela, that's right.
All right. Very exciting. Well, we are talking today about the subject of cross-cultural marriages. And Martha, I think, was trying to make this distinction because I think I was saying a few things like several times. This isn't about crossing just ethnicities. This is actually about crossing cultures. So this isn't like, you know, hey, my husband is Korean, but he grew up in Detroit. Okay, so no. This is about actually having to bridge a full culture. So all of these guys have done it. And unfortunately, we don't have their wives here to give their sides of the story, but we'll maybe get the real deal on that later and find out if anything was misrepresented.
That might be so, good. Yeah,
might be good. But we'll give them the floor this time around. So I want to start out by asking you guys a question. Basically, I want to know when you thought, I mean, obviously you can talk about your thoughts about marriage and moving into marriage and what that looked like, if that was something you always envisioned. But what I want to know is, was the idea of a cross-cultural marriage ever on your mind, or was this something that came about as a result of the specific person that you met? Kind of as a young adult, a young guy. I know, Andres, you said you came to the States for college. Yeah. And so just thinking about that, where were you guys really in that in your thought process?
Well, I never thought I would marry a person from another country. I didn't think I would move to another country. So I never thought of, oh, what should I do? What kind of culture or background I'm going to bring to my marriage? So it just happened. So it's something that I didn't think of before, but it's a learning process that you have to learn together in this case, with my wife. So I just didn't think of it before, and so until I got married and started living together, then there's when things from each culture comes up and you have to deal with them.
Until then, she was just interesting, and then she became irritating after a while. Yeah, that's good. Okay, well, and you were, I mean, obviously growing up in your home country, but you did come to college with a purpose and knew that you would be in school here in the States and you'd meet people from other cultures, but maybe not necessarily saying, oh, yeah, I'm going to marry one of these people.
That's correct. Yeah, I just came with the purpose of studying. And so I came and just became friends with my wife. And those things happen. Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes you just don't plan those things. And it just happened. So I was just trying to focus on homework and papers.
That's what they all say, Andres. That's what they all say. Michael, what about you?
Yeah, very similar story. I never thought that I would marry someone from another country. But when I went to Taiwan, the second day in that country, I met my wife. So I guess it was meant to be, and from God, I guess.
Wow.
That's good. Well, in my case, actually, my mom used to work with a lot of missionaries in Venezuela, and I couldn't help but think about that. What would happen if you know, maybe one of their daughters, these missionaries here in the country, later in the years, I don't know. I always wonder how that would have been. But then later, when I my 22, 23 years old, I totally forgot about that. I never thought about it again until a pastor, he came with the idea. I say, hey, there's a girl that is working in my church and is working also in the school where my kids are going. And I totally rejected that idea. But it was interesting to see. At one point, I really wanted to, but then I rejected it. But when I rejected it, it happened.
Wow.
So
what just, caused you to reject it?
I wasn't ready for that. It was a couple things. I had a good job at that moment. I wasn't sure if I wanted to marry a missionary. I wasn't sure if I wanted my life to change like that, because I knew the sacrifices and the many challenges that they go through, and I wasn't sure if I wanted that for my life. And well, I was living a relationship at that moment, so I didn't really want to. But again, it wasn't in my plans.
So how did these relationships start then? What first attracted you to your wives, and then how did that kind of grow into something where you're like, actually, I may end up marrying this person?
For me, you know, is she was just cute. So it was the physical at first, you know, to be honest.
Yes.
But I think as we got to know one another a little bit more, you know, you start to see potential there. Of course, I dated a lot, not a lot, but several times before her, and for various reasons, never was a good match there. But with her, even though from the beginning, it was very obvious that there were some pretty big cultural differences and different expectations and values, but just somehow there was a match there. So.
Okay, so I want each of you to share, because obviously you've alluded now to the differences that you discovered. What were differences that you knew from the get-go, like even before marriage, where you're like, okay, this is something we're going to have to work through either now or certainly as we move into marriage? And then what are some of the subtle ones that maybe you weren't expecting that cropped up afterwards? Let's get down to the nitty-gritty here.
Well, my case, you may know this, but there's a difference between... Now, this is my thinking, okay? In the United States, American culture, about how you take care of your parents. Usually, majority of your parents go to a living house, or they take care of themselves, savings, and they pay for that. In our case, in Hispanic culture, and maybe Andres can back that up for me too, we tend to take care of our elderly parents. So that, at the beginning, I didn't know what was going to happen, because I know my mom is sick. Today, she's very sick. Fortunately, I have two other brothers, an older brother and a younger brother, and they're taking care of her as well. But that was scaring me a lot. I was thinking, what's going to happen when my mom needs me? We need one of us to take care of her. I'm going to be miles and thousands of miles away from her. And my wife, I don't think she's going to be that much into, let's bring your mom with us. It's going to be a challenge.
Wow.
So that was a huge challenge for me.
I would definitely agree with you, because parents is like something important, you know. And along those lines, I would like to add that, for instance, what our parents think is really important. For example, when I have a son who's 1 year old, when he gets sick, what I do is I call my parents, say, hey, what can I do? He's sick, and what can I do? On the other hand, when he gets sick, my wife calls the doctor. So that's different. And so it's like I rely on my parents and their knowledge and their background. But my wife bases their thinking on science and technology and all of that. So that's the difference as well.
Now, does she sometimes accuse you of saying, man, can you just let go of your parents? Why is this all about your parents?
Well, not so much.
Okay.
Yeah, there's that difference, but usually I have to give it up. I usually have to say, okay, you decide.
But Lisa, that what you just said, you know, don't call your parents anymore. I mean, stop doing that. The pastor that did the premarital counseling with me and my wife, he was a missionary too. The first thing he told me is, at one point, you need to stop referring to your parents' house as your house. That's not your house anymore. That's your parents' house. And I kept that in mind all the time. Because every time I say, oh, I'm going to call my house, and then comes back and say, okay, wait a second. No, this is my house. I'm going to call my parents' house, or let's go to my parents' house.
Yeah.
So that, as you're saying, separating that part of it.
Yeah, and caring for elderly parents is also very important in the Taiwanese culture. And that was actually one of the deals, I guess, that we made when we were talking about marriage. Is my wife said, we cannot leave this country as long as my parents are still alive. She says, because I'm responsible for taking care of them. And I said, okay, because at that point I didn't plan on ever leaving anyways. And very unfortunately, her mom passed away a few years ago. And so we did finally leave Taiwan and move back to the States. But if she were still alive, I'm sure we would still be in Taiwan now, because it's very important for her to be able to take care of her parents.
Now, was it hard for you to reconcile when you look at the biblical teaching of, you know, getting married and becoming one flesh and that whole idea? I mean, is that harder when there are cultural things? I mean, what kind of things did you have to reconcile as far as, because I can understand, you know, growing up with people who know you and where the experience is very similar and stuff. I mean, there are a lot of things that maybe, as you're sharing here, you really have to put on the altar and say, I am going to give this up. I am going to, you know, kind of that dying to self.
Yeah, I think my wife and I both decided that we're going to, yes, we have valuable things in each of our cultures, but we want to align that with, you know, biblical values. So everything we're going to set up against Scripture and say, okay, how does this match what Scripture says? And we're going to set aside anything that doesn't fit that well. And so when we did premarital counseling, actually our pastor talked a lot about the idea of, you know, leaving and cleaving. And that was kind of a hard, new concept for her. But she really embraced that, I think, and was able to, okay, if we have issues within our marriage, you know, she's not going to run home to her mom. She's going to work at it in our marriage. But still, you know, we look at, you know, taking care of your elderly parents. That also is a very biblical concept. Yeah. And so I said, yeah, we're going to embrace that part of the culture because that's a very good thing. And so that's kind of how we worked it out.
And I would say it's also important to know that not every couple is going to face with the same problems or circumstances. For instance, my case, we haven't dealt with us yet. But we can learn from other people to be prepared for that. As far as like my case, we haven't faced this yet. So that's good, but it doesn't mean it'll get us in the future. So for those who are listening to us, like if you're not facing this right now, you may in the future. So it's also a good time to learn and grow together right now that you don't have to face it. So there is a open communication with your wife so you can share more openly with your wife or your husband.
And also when your parents, they're believers also, they know the Bible, they know the scripture, that brings a lot of relief and support to the relationship because let's say like this, my wife, her name is Leanne. She's American. She comes from an individualistic culture, right? For her, it's easier to go from, you know, the opposite, to go just for herself, right? To taking care of herself. In my case, in Venezuela, you live with your parents until you get married. You can be 31 years old and you still live with them.
Same in Ecuador.
So it's harder for you to make that transition. You know what I mean? So when you meet your wife or your spouse and then you have to leave your house and become one, as the Bible says, for a person that comes from an individualistic culture like the United States, and it's easier than when somebody from Venezuela, Ecuador, I don't know, your wife, in your case, Michael, is harder, you know. But when your parents are believers, they help you to understand that that's important. That's something that you have to follow, period.
Yeah, you just mentioned the difference between, you know, communal culture versus individualistic. And I think that difference was probably the first real conflict we had in our marriage, because about a week into it, I said, I need some personal time. And she's like, what is personal time? I don't get this. What do you mean personal time? So for her, I mean, you're, as a family, you're always in everyone's business, and there's you never leave to be by yourself. And so that was very hard for
what is personal time?
That's a good question.
That's good. How about Andres? What's been, you talked about how the family thing or the parent thing hasn't necessarily cropped up yet, but what's been your biggest sticking point cross-culturally so far?
Well, so far is what I mentioned is the how to take care of our baby. For instance, in Latin America, especially in Ecuador, we base on things that have happened before. If, like, the background from our, or the thoughts from our grandparents were passed on to our parents and those parents on to us. So we just think they are true because our parents did it and grandparents did it. And here
it worked out. It worked for me.
Yeah, it worked for me. I'm still alive. So, but for my wife, it's not that. It's hey, science is this, medical, we can go to a doctor mm-hmm. and probably find the answer to this problem instead of seeing what happened to your grandparents and how they resolved the issue. Mm-hmm. So that has been the biggest challenge so mm-hmm. far. But also I would like to say that even though we're from two different cultures, not everything is going to be a challenge.
Right. Mm.
There are many things that we enjoy doing together and that we haven't had problems. And so that's good. And so it's not like a battle all the time.
Right.
It's like, I think we have more time together as a couple, like with that we enjoy each other with no problems, with mm-hmm. no cultural problems, than with problems. So we have more time that we enjoy each other mm-hmm. than having to deal with cultural differences. Mm-hmm.
So tell me how you all celebrate your cultures. How have you meshed them? How have you, you know, what's stayed, what's gone? How do you really kind of mesh the two cultures together wherever you're living? Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously now it's here in the States, but. Mm-hmm.
That's a great question. I think with our family, we have two kids now, and we're very concerned about them being able to continue to embrace their Taiwanese heritage. And so we will celebrate Chinese New Year and some of the other holidays and things like that. So we also want them to be able to speak the language. Mm-hmm. And so we try to speak that at home as much, but it's really hard. They don't like speaking Chinese.
And my daughter doesn't like to speak Spanish. She tells me, no Spanish, Daddy, no Spanish. Kind of hurting, but...
You're like hurtful. Trying to carry the standard yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I would say that when... We try to share each other's background. Like, for instance, at home, I listen to Spanish music, I listen to salsa, I listen to merengue, different kinds of Spanish music, and she's fine with that. And so if I listen to Spanish music and she's fine with that, I let her, like, probably she likes to cook hot dogs, you know, and I'm okay with that, too. So I just have to give up in one spot, and just the other spouse has to give up another spot, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and also, like, for instance, where we're going to spend holidays, and like my parents, we're going to Ecuador, we're going to go to her parents here in the US, we're going to do. And so far, it's like we mostly visit her parents and her family because it's more expensive to go to Ecuador. Mm-hmm. So we haven't had problems, but I think she's very open to that, to mm-hmm. go and probably once a year to Ecuador and visit my family in Ecuador. My whole family is in Ecuador. So I think it's something really important you have to talk to probably before you get married or mm-hmm. during your marriage mm-hmm. right now, mm-hmm. that what are you going to give up, and then how are you going to mm-hmm. live together yeah. for the rest of your life?
I struggle a little bit with that area. And when I say struggle, I mean because I'm not responsible that much in kind of like bringing that my culture into my kids, my children. Maybe because the fact that my wife lived in Venezuela, and somehow I feel like she's responsible for that too, which I know, and I admit that I'm wrong about that. I try to speak Spanish to my daughter when I remember. And of course, she rejects it. She said, no, Daddy, no Spanish to me. The good thing that we can do at home, actually, my wife and I do at home, is I cook food from Venezuela. I make things called arepas. Maybe Andres know arepas.
Yeah,
some other stuff, but like pepitos, mm-hmm. that we call. And my daughter, Maya, she knows them well. She loves them. Another thing is, I don't know, it's having my family all the time on Skype, talking to my daughter in Spanish, calling us and trying to blend in that way. I remember my pastor one time, he said, when he was doing the counseling, he said, God never makes a mistake the person that you are married to. Sometimes it doesn't work well for you and your spouse, but he doesn't make a mistake with the person that you're marrying. And that always also stays in my mind, because I think, well, you and I are different, but there's a reason why we're together. There's a purpose. Mm-hmm. So let's bring both of our cultures to the table and let's work it out. I don't know if this is a word or not, but I think it is. I'm very, like, acculturate and kind of blend in really well with the culture I'm living in. So I think that might be bad sometimes when you marry a person from a different culture, because you give up your culture, unfortunately. And I feel guilty about that sometimes. I feel like I'm failing my culture. But at the same time, I want my kids to grow well in the culture they're living and not be different to the other kids. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say with that. It's hard, to decide where to go there.
Yeah. And I think even with all the challenges, there are some really good advantages to cross-cultural marriage as well. I think for my wife and I mean, we never assume that we know how the person is thinking. We never assume that their values are similar to mine. You know, I think because of that, we're able to communicate a little better because we're not taking things for granted. Yeah, it's challenging, but it's also, we have fewer assumptions, I think, than maybe other marriages do.
Kind of like where psychologists say to make a study of your spouse for the rest of your life. You guys are having to do that just to, you're kind of like naturally to really get to know them in all those different ways. So,
I would like to add that, along those lines, you're not supposed to assume. And it happens to me, for instance, when I try to communicate a deep thought or something that is like really important to me, and I can't find the right English words, that's kind of difficult. So I don't have to assume that my wife knows what I'm trying to say. You know, so you have to work it out in a way that even if you have to draw it, it's like you have to communicate. So the spouse is not going to assume what you're trying to say. And that has happened to me. It's like sometimes I just try to communicate something. I just don't find the right English words to say it. So you have to be patient, and communication is the key.
Yeah. It's more interesting too. I sometimes think if I had married someone from my own culture, it would have been boring.
That's good. Well, these are good thoughts, you guys. Thanks so much for being part of this conversation and this show, really, which is really focusing kind of on many cross-cultural elements and what's going on around the world so we can think beyond just our own little neighborhoods right here. But great thoughts, especially for those who are considering a cross-cultural relationship even now. So thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks.